You guys are very good. Hello. How are we this evening, everybody? I was paid out today for too often speaking Italian on stage, and so I highly refrain from saying buonasera, ragazzi. But good evening, everyone. How are we? Very good to be in the house tonight, and it's exciting times. I don't know if you noticed, but there is a little video that went on in Live Update that everyone has been screaming about for ages. And that is, of course, our youth gala night titled Chosen. And I wanted to take an opportunity to explain to you what it means, because maybe you're fairly new around the church, you've got no idea what gala night is. Maybe you're a young adult and you think, that doesn't apply to me, it's only youth. It is actually for everybody. So if you buy a ticket, which I encourage you to do, $20 student, that includes university student, $40 for an adult. If you buy a ticket, you'll come 6:30 on Friday night. We'll have this amazing foyer set up. There'll be beautiful food. It's absolutely amazing. Everyone will be dressed up. All the youth will wear their, you know, their best button-up shirt and their best dress, and it'll be awesome. And then we come in here and we literally take time to celebrate what God has done over the past year at Shire Live Youth. And you will see stories and videos and amazing things about all the various young people that make up Shire Live Youth. And then we'll have a massive live art auction, and I encourage you, come bid on something. You're going to love the artwork that's available this year at Gala Night. So you come, everyone bids in the live art auction. There's always, you know, three awesome young people that are like, $1,000! And everyone knows they cannot afford that. And there's a silent auction outside, so it is for everyone. The reason why I need you to partner with Shire Live Youth and be part of this is because we will speak about prophecy tonight, and it's sort of where God gives you a glimpse, a glimpse is the best word, into the future. And there has been a number of prophecies spoken over Shire Live Youth over the past 4 years since Pastor Brad and Ali have been here, and a number, countless before that. But there is one of my points tonight is actually submit to God's timing, because there is a time. Unfortunately, you and I, we don't get to decide when the prophecies are going to happen. And there have been a number of amazing prophecies, but it hasn't been time yet over Shire Live Youth. What is exciting is I believe that 2018 and as we journey, it's now the time to see Shire Live Youth sort of snowball. And what that requires is our annual fundraiser to be next level this year. And so, young adults, I need you to partner with us and get along to Gala Night. Families, partner with us, get along to Gala Night. Whatever you've got planned for this Friday night, it can happen, because it can happen another time, because Gala only happens once a year. Three things that I promise you. One, you will absolutely love it. Two, you will be blown away. You think you know the extent to which your generosity, you think you know the extent to what your contribution achieves in our community. You actually don't, but we will show you on Friday night. And number three, if you invite friends and family, they will be, again, blown away. It's one of the best introductions to the church you could possibly bring someone to. And I'm very grateful for one family in our church, and the mum, she's got a wonderful daughter, part of Shire Live Youth. She's bringing all of her colleagues, and just her way of blessing our youth ministry. So make sure you get along, and it's amazing. Now, you would have seen some of our youth crew up here on the stage worshiping. Now, there's a little pocket rocket that's sung over here. Her name is Aria. Where are you, Aria? Where are you? Aria, stand up, give us a wave. Oh, there she is. She graduated high school this year, and Aria, we're very proud of you, and she's an amazing part of Shire Live Youth. She just serves and serves and serves, gives and gives and gives. She'll actually be leading a musical item at Gala, so you'll see her front and center. Spotlight on her. I heard her rehearsing on Thursday night. Absolutely beautiful. And then Oscar Lennon, brother. Oh, man. Oh, bruh. Dude, you choked me up in worship tonight. I saw you right here, and he was, mimicking Dan, the striped shirts and everything. It's funny because they're both bass players, and so it's like father and son. It's like, it was really beautiful. I watched the way you worshipped tonight while you were playing guitar, Oscar, and I am so proud of you, brother. We are so proud of you. I actually remember Oscar's mum used to be my tennis coach when I was like, I don't know, 10. When I can't remember how old I was. And I remember when I'd first gotten saved and I knew you and your sister, and I used to tell your mum, one day when Oscar's old enough to come to youth, he's going to love it. I told her about life group and everything. I think it was Fallon who eventually invited you, but you have become such an incredible part of our youth ministry. Far out, Oscar. You're the man. You are the man. Oscar and I have this running joke. I had a what I like to call a gym career at one point in time. I must say, a very disappointing gym career. And one day, someone said to me, Jackson, your arms are looking massive. Now, please, although I'm very confident in who I am, just keep your eyes, no judgment, okay? I remember one day, this is a true story, someone said, Jackson, your arms are getting huge. I felt so good. It's like, oh, yes. All that hard work, if you can, yeah, anyway, not that my gym career was that productive anyway. Paying off, and then you just hear Oscar in the background call out, it's an illusion. And so we have this running joke every time we say something, we always say, it's an illusion. We had this awesome time, one of our brilliant worship leaders, Beck Warden, and she got married, she's now Beck Berger, amazing. We went to Lockie and Beck's wedding yesterday, and it was amazing. It was like legit a phenomenal wedding, beautiful day, beautiful ceremony, beautiful reception. Though in the ceremony, it sort of became real to me something that's coming up in January. That is, two of my best friends, they're sitting up there, Junior and Belinda, they are also getting married. Amazing. I am so excited for them, but there is a small part of me that is so nervous because Junior is making us do a shirtless haka. Yes, it is true. On the 12th of January, I'm going to have to take my shirt off in front of hundreds of islanders and do a haka. Lord, help me. I must say, it has brought a little bit of inspiration to my gym career that started and ended 2 years ago. But I will be going back. I did a little research, a funny research. I legit had a gym career. You just got to be comfortable in how God made you. I am lanky through and through. I'll go with that. At one point, everyone's telling me to get these different supplements, and so what do? You jump on the internet, boom, boom, boom. I'm a scientist. I am like adding all of these things into the blender, a little this, a little that. It's all healthy, all legit. And actually crazy, but as you can tell, it was not very productive. I am still here, still me. There's another part of me. It's also, you'll hear my friends very jokingly pay out my facial hair. It's sort of that one thing that you wake up in the morning and you wish, you know, when you go to the mirror, God, did you answer my prayer last night? God, can I just not have a patchy beard? Like, I'm 24 now, please. Like, anything, Lord. Just do it for me. And then, you know, you come in and I'm at the door saying hello to people, and Greg Williams is like, oh, brother, look at that patchy beard. I'm like, awesome. And then there's other people that ask me, what year at school are you in? I'm like, oh, 5 years of uni, brother. Don't tell me I'm still at school. Then it's just not fair. You go, you know, I was at Gunners today with one of our young, amazing young people, and people would think he's like 18 and like he's 12. And then it's just under reverse. All funny little jokes about, mediocre, disappointing things, if I can call it that, as a stretch of an analogy. I want to talk about disappointment. You buy the supplements, they don't work because they're just not for you. You go to the gym, you might get fit, but ultimately, if you're going to be a lanky boy, you're going to be a lanky boy. But far deeper than that, there is, I think, a significant word from God from Scripture today about disappointment deep in people's hearts. I believe that it's something that God does want to deal with tonight because He is setting us up for an amazing 2018. I think that as I prayed and processed and wrestled with God about this word, I do believe that You may have been living with this for a long time. It's actually deep in your heart. You may have learnt to carry this deep disappointment, but I do believe God does want to shake it and change it today. And all in Jesus' name, all so that you and your family can advance in your destiny, in your grace lane, in where God wants to take you. I do believe it's going to be a very exciting night in church tonight. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you right now and we say, God, we want you to have your way. Father, I know that in this room, you absolutely love every person, every situation, everybody. You are deeply in love with them. And tonight, your heart is for them to come to you just as they are, for them to offer the deepest parts of their heart to you, and for you to give them a life-changing word. So, Father, I say, let it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start with the story, the person of John the Baptist. So as you turn there, I'm going to tell you a little bit about John the Baptist. And so this was a guy, he was prophesied about. Isaiah and Micah both prophesied that there was one person that would come before Jesus and prepare the way for him. And it ended up being John the Baptist. He was born to, we read this in the start of Luke, amazing scripture. He was born to Zechariah and it's just slipped my mind momentarily, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah, he actually didn't believe it at first. And so God made him mute for 9 months during the pregnancy because God was so concerned that his lack of faith confession would hinder the promise of God coming to pass. So he actually made him mute. Such was the potency of John's assignment that, you know, the parents were not allowed to speak anything but faith over this child. So there, John the Baptist is, he grows up. If you're not familiar with scripture yet, maybe you're fairly fresh to the faith journey, this is awesome. He grew up very weird. He grew up in the desert. He grew up eating really weird things, dressing really weird. He was known as actually a really weird guy. But in our standards, he was known as a very exceptional man of God. He was very effective at doing that which God had called him to do, and that was to baptize people into repentance. Repentance meaning changing their ways. And so there John was, Jesus was growing up. They were only born about 6 months apart, scholars believe. There John was baptizing people a fair few years before Jesus' ministry would kickstart and preparing a whole group of people to be ready for the ministry of Jesus. Amazing. So let's dig into Matthew chapter 11. It says this. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So here we see this amazing faith man, John the Baptist. Like he was out on a limb for most of his life on behalf of God, preparing the way for Jesus. But here we see this really interesting passage where a little bit of disappointment kicks in. You see, like most Jews that had anticipated Jesus, Jesus was not what they expected. So John even baptized Jesus. Imagine baptizing Jesus. What a responsibility. But John was there, and in the River Jordan, John held the shoulder of Jesus on either side and lowered him down into the River Jordan and brought him back up. In the Gospels, the Bible clearly says that everybody in the vicinity heard the voice of God from heaven boom down on them and say, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." So, man, John is like, wow. Woo, I really did my job. Here I am. I mean, this is it. I mean, this really is the Messiah right in front of me. So Jesus, after he's baptized, he goes and he's in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights. And in Luke chapter 4, he comes back, he's surrounded by Jews, and he picks up the scroll of prophet Isaiah. And he begins to read a prophecy that was made about him. I'm actually going to read it from Isaiah. So turn with me, Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So let's picture it. There is John. He has seen the heavens open, the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove when Jesus was being baptized. He has heard the voice of God say, "This is the one." He has then either witnessed directly or heard Jesus unroll the scroll and say, "I am the one the Lord has anointed to finally do what you have longed God to do for so long." But he had a preconceived idea of how it would happen. And in Matthew chapter 11, there is John, largely finished his assignment on earth, largely done what God had told him to do. And there he is sitting in prison. And he does what I think perhaps we do, definitely myself at times. And he begins to let disappointment sort of cover and undergird his spirit, because Jesus was not acting the way that he expected him to act. He saw that it was Jesus, but then all of a sudden, Jesus, so-called King of the Jews, was not coming to rule and reign like they thought the King of the Jews was coming to rule and reign. He's sitting there in prison being like, "It seems like I've got no beauty. Instead, I've got ashes. Jesus, you came to set free those who are in prison, yet I am literally sitting in prison right now." And you can sense this discouragement on the inside of him, this disappointment. And I can see in the scripture this phrase that sort of comes across as John sends his disciples to Jesus after giving his whole life to serve Jesus and prepare the way. He's sort of asking, "Is this it? Are you the one? Are you sure you are the one we're waiting for?" This is what he said. Are you sure you're the one we're waiting for? I know we saw a few miracles. I know I saw, but you're not doing it how I expected. You're not handling the whole like reigning thing the way that I think you should. And now I am deeply disappointed. And sort of in hindsight reflecting, I gave my life to you. And now I find myself in the prison and I feel like I held up my end of the bargain, Jesus, but I'm not really sure if you held up yours. Is it you? I believe in ministry time tonight that you are going to receive beauty for ashes and you are going to have the spirit of heaviness taken off you and replaced with the spirit of praise. And I do believe that you are going to have your soul lifted from that sense of discouragement, because though Jesus is very different to how we think he should be, or he does things differently to how we think he should do them, or does it in different timing to perhaps what we think is best, he always, always, always comes through. And on the other side of the miracle, we are so thankful he did it the way he wanted to do it and not the way we wanted to do it. So, 5 lessons on dealing with disappointment from the life of John. 5 lessons on dealing with disappointment from the life of John. First one is, and I love this, John went to Jesus himself in his capacity and asked him himself. So point one is, go to God yourself and ask him. So often, and I'll explain a deeper reason why we don't go to Jesus in a second, but so often we don't go to Jesus when dealing with the dark stuff, the heavy stuff, the real soul stuff. We like to talk about it with friends and we like to sort of deal with it ourselves or even see professionals about it, which is awesome, great. But Jesus is not just in the top part of our soul, not in the top part of our life, and leaves you to deal with the deep things by yourself. No, in fact, John shows us a really important key here. Go to God yourself. I've often found myself in the trap of really judging Bible characters. Like, how dare you ask Jesus that? Ye of little faith. As if I'm Jesus. Ye of little faith, John the Baptist. How dare you ask Jesus if he is Jesus? But in fact, with those words or not, we have all done this. And I have done this. And I have sacrificed at times, and I'm early 20s at the moment and nowhere near as much as you, but go with me. I have said, God, I've sacrificed so much. Is this it? Was this the plan? We've all said it, but as long as we go to God, we're going to get a really good answer. Second thing is, consider what is framing your perspective. Consider what is framing your perspective. When Jesus replied to the servants, he said to them, first off, he said, go and tell John what you see and hear. So check this out, Matthew 11, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things that you hear and you see. John was in prison and his perspective was shaped by the prison. And these people were outside of the prison and their perspective was not shaped by the prison. And sometimes in our deep discouragement, sometimes in our oppression and our bondage, we let it frame our perspective and we cannot see anything other than doom and gloom at times, or we can't see anything but a hard road ahead at times. But Jesus first and foremost addressed perspective. John, great question. But before I even give you an answer, you must remember that the prison hinders your perspective. Third thing is, consider the testimony of what is happening. Consider the testimony of what is happening. The fact is, and I would highly encourage you to consider the testimony of what is happening in the light of prophecy. One of my favorite verses, Ben Rainford and I, 1 Timothy 1 verse 18, it's not in my notes, not up on the screen. It says this though, it says, hold tightly to the prophecies that you were given, because by them you will wage the good fight. And prophecies become, you know, sort of our weapon when we are advancing in the things of God. And when we see discouragement, we must consider the various other testimonies that are happening in line with the prophecies to give us faith. I think it was you that preached this, Jared, just maybe a month ago. Their miracle is to encourage us that our prophecy will be fulfilled as well. The fourth thing is submit to his timing. So when Jesus, if you remember, Jesus says in verse 4, he says, go and tell them what you see and hear. But then he starts to list things, remember? He starts to list things. He says, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. And what is this sort of sign to us? He's sort of saying to John, John, what you are believing for is happening. Maybe not as quick as you'd like it to happen. Not as maybe magical as you'd like it to happen. Maybe not as forefront and visible as you would like it to happen. But it is happening. With the seed of faith that you consider the testimony and submit to his timing, you are then able to realize, okay, God is on the move. He is on the move. And you just keep telling yourself, God is on the move. God is on the move. And the fifth thing, I love this one. This passage teaches us to take authority over condemnation. Take authority over condemnation. Now, from experience, I am dealing with disappointment myself. The reason why we don't go to Jesus, like I said in point one, is because there is a deep sense of condemnation that is attached to doubt and attached to disappointment at God. There is you're not only feeling like, oh God, you let me down. You not only have that, and it's a true feeling. We don't often talk about it, but it is a very true, deep soul conversation that you and I have. We not only feel like God isn't holding up his end of the bargain, we feel like we've been left out to dry when we did everything in our power. But sometimes, most of the time rather, we have a deep sense of guilt and condemnation that we are thinking like this and therefore we don't go to God. What is amazing about this passage is that God, Jesus, he addresses this amazingly. So after John leaves, the disciples of John leave, and he's got a whole crowd of people around him who've just heard this amazing conversation, have just heard John the Baptist, the famous John the Baptist, articulate and tell everybody his questioning of Jesus, the Messiah himself. Jesus had an option. He could have taught about faith. He could have taught about, no, you need to stand strong in faith. How dare you ask those questions? How dare you question that thing in your soul? But no, in fact, he doesn't. Check out what Jesus says about John the Baptist. Not to John the Baptist, behind his back to everybody else. Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 to 14. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Band, if you can come join me. John comes full of disappointment, comes questioning, comes with a sense of questioning regret. Did I really lay down my life and was it a waste? Like, did I give this all for nothing? Did I baptize the wrong Jesus? And he brings it. The Word of God teaches us to submit to his timing, teaches us to go to God ourselves. And then Jesus has this amazing opportunity to teach something important in the light of disappointment. And what he says to John is says about John is these two things. While John is deeply disappointed, number one, he says, "You are awesome." He says, "There is no one greater than John the Baptist." He literally says, behind John's back, "You are incredible. John, you're incredible." We come and we're sort of guilty at the fact that we are questioning whether Jesus is Jesus. And we come and we got this condemnation in our spirits that we're even having the conversation about this. And Jesus is on the other side looking at us and saying, "You are amazing." Does God get any better? Like, in our biggest failings and our deepest questioning and our lack of reliability on my part anyway, Jesus tells me I am awesome. Second thing he says to John, or about John rather, is he says this phrase, "This is Elijah if you are willing to believe." Let me get the exact wording for you. "And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come." Micah and Isaiah both prophesied about someone who would prepare the way for the Lord. Micah specifically said a second Elijah who is to come. And so all of these people, all of the Jews, were waiting for Elijah. And when he comes with disappointment, Jesus says, "You're awesome, and you are also the fulfillment of prophecy." I really get this sense in my heart tonight that God's word over so many people is, you are a fulfillment of prophecy to this church. That your gifts and your contribution and your heart and your faith is a fulfillment of prayer and prophecy that has been spoken over this church, and you are literally an answer to it. God, I believe, did not bring you here by accident. God does not have you in the life of Shire Live for any other reason, but you are a fulfillment of prophecy. What we have been believing for, what generations past of Shire Live, 70 amazing years, have been believing for, is now being fulfilled through you and I. More specifically, through your gifts, through your faith, now through your prayers, through your encouragement, through your attendance, through your presence in the foyer, through your faith here. So let's really address the question, why doesn't Jesus condemn us for a deep sense of disappointment? For the same reason he doesn't condemn us for any other reason. You see, he could condemn us for doubt. Peter walked on water, but then began to sink. Now Jesus said, "Why do you have such little faith?" But it was not in condemning. It was like, "Come on, Peter, you got this, brother." Nehemiah, when he built the wall, he comes back 7 years later in Nehemiah 13, and though the city is well functioning, sin has begun to creep in Nehemiah chapter 13. And again, we don't see anywhere God rebuke that or say that Nehemiah's contribution wasn't worth it. Although you can guarantee he would have, when he turned up and saw sin present, he would have felt a deep sense of disappointment. He doesn't condemn us for these things because firstly, he knows it's part of the human experience. You and I are going to go on waves whether we like it or not. And we are going to have super high moments in the presence of God, and we are going to have super low moments in the presence of God. I'm about to offer an invitation for anyone that doesn't know Jesus to come into relationship with him. But we are not talking about a fairy tale land. We are talking about a real life, but you get to do it with a real Savior. He is with you in the high, he is with you in the low. He doesn't condemn you in the low, and he doesn't say you're amazing in the high, because why? You are amazing through it all. God says no matter what season you're in, what sense, what deep conversation you're having in your soul, Jesus loves you right now at every point in time, highs, lows, through it all. The second thing is it actually keeps our eyes off the next phase of our assignment. Condemnation keeps us looking down. The presence of God solely here to lift our heads, looking back up to heaven, ready for the next phase of our assignment. Meshach, Radshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, a trio that definitely experienced a deep sense of disappointment, thinking, "Oh God, we stood strong when we were told to bow, we didn't bow." But you can bet, because they were human as well, as they were being marched to a fiery furnace, they would have been like, "Did we just stand up to be killed?" And there they are, about to be thrown into the furnace. Peter walked on water, and when he sank, he would have felt, "Did I just get brought onto the water to sink, to walk for a second and then sink?" Nehemiah, "Did I just rebuild a city so that sin could come and live in here?" The reason why God doesn't condemn us, because there is a next phase in our journey and in our assignment, and it involves miracles and it involves direct relationship and manifestation of the presence of God. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had Jesus walking around in the fire with them. When Jesus turned up, guess what? They didn't even try and get out of the fire because they realized life in the fire, if it's with the presence of God, is better than life out of the fire without the presence of God. Nehemiah, though he didn't live to see it, he was the last domino to fall in Jewish history before Jesus was to come and save the world. Sin may have been present, but all good. Jesus was on the way, not just to rescue his city, but the entire generations of humanity, start to finish. And Peter, you were to go on and be an apostle to the Jewish people. You have moments where you're walking on water, and then you have moments where you're sinking. But the more we follow the voice of Jesus, the gracious, kind voice of Jesus, there's less sinking, more walking. Miracles with Jesus, people to get saved, the message being preached, stories to be written in the Word of God and in the pages of history forever. If you are living with a deep sense of disappointment because you think God has hung you out to dry, can I read you what the Spirit of God is going to do? We've already read it. Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of God is here tonight for you because the Lord has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor. If you are brokenhearted, it's going to be healed tonight. If you're a captive to something, you will be at liberty tonight, and the opening of the prison to all those who are bound. Here's the kicker. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Maybe you have been through a season where it hasn't been very acceptable and you are just believing, God, can it be something more? We'll get ready for a good 2018, because it's time for the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance of our God, and comfort all who mourn. Console those who mourn in Zion. Give you beauty for ashes. Those who have found themselves in a prison, saying to Jesus, is this it? He is saying, well, I'm going to take you out of the ashes. I'm going to seat you in beauty tonight. Oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise. Well, this is so good. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are families in here and you have been turning up to church and you have been worshiping, but it has been from a position of heaviness. It's going to break tonight in the name of Jesus. It is going to break tonight in the name of Jesus. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes?